before you sit down, help me look at someone by your side and tell the person, you've made it to the end of August. Today is the last Sunday, last day, literally, in August. So congrats. Amen. So find out the person's name. Say, brother, sister, please. What's your name? Find out the person's name. And call the person, brother this or sister this. I hope you'll be a blessing to me in this service. Or should I change my seat? Hope you will help me receive. Hope you help me stay awake. Hope you help me receive and rejoice. Or should I change my seat? Nah, get an answer, get an answer. What did I say? They should just change their seats because you're about to be a distraction to them. Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. Good morning. Last Sunday in August. And God is faithful. Amen. Today there will be answers. Just somehow in this meeting. But I'll continue in my series. So. Amen. Basic ministry know-how. How to do ministry. And we are doing this teaching again and again because every believer is a minister. And the earlier you accept this thing we are saying, the better for all of us. That you're a minister. Salvation is a complete package. Right? You are not actually giving much of an option. You just chose Jesus. You chose everything. So the day you begin to do ministry is just the day you decided to accept what has been given to you. When you got born again, God gave you salvation. He gave you free gifts in Christ Jesus. He gave you salvation. He gave you righteousness and all that comes with it. He gave you his authority. But then again, he also gave you a responsibility. You can't choose one without accepting the other. You say, I didn't bargain for that. Well, you did. Just like when you are born into your family, you are a son. There are privileges to sonship because you're a member of your family. If your dad has a land, you have land already. You get the point. You have some things. If your dad has cars, you can drive a few of them because it is your family. But then that also comes the responsibility. But at an age you get to, they now say you should go and wash plates. You can't say you didn't bargain for that. You should wash plates. Are you getting the point? So sonship also comes with responsibilities. So every time we say we believer is a minister, let it not get you offended. Because the earlier you accept it, the better. Because we've made this minister thing look like it's for some special people. Say, these are ministers of the gospel. I'm the minister of the gospel. I'm just an upcoming believer. Do you understand? Everybody's a minister of the gospel. From the day you got born again. Right? Let me even say this to you. Most times, now I'm going to say this to you. Most times when people say they got the call of God upon their lives, that wasn't the day they were called of God. That was the day they discovered they were called. And for most people, that was the day they accepted the call. Do you understand? There's a call of God upon you. Say amen. Amen. That may not be to be a pastor, but it could also be, and I always say it doesn't mean to be a pastor, but the thing is that many of you will be pastors, evangelists. Are you happy about that? Ask your neighbor, are you happy about that? Well, because you don't have much of a choice. That's the point. You don't have much of a choice. Whether you're happy or you're sad, one day you're just going to grow and find out. It's just like, when, you know, that's what we go to church. Just like when you're in medical school, you're in second or third year, and your lecturer says, one day you are going to become a doctor. That's expected because you're in medical school. You are in church. Church is ministry training. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think it's expected that one day you become a minister of the gospel. You grow to become a bigger minister of the gospel. And I can show you that in the Bible. Ephesians 4 tells us, verse 11, give me like New Living Translation. It tells you that God gave apostles, gave like five offices, of which I happen to be one of them. But look at, it mentioned the offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And then in verse 12, it said, my responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So the reason I'm equipped is so I can be able to do the work of God. That is ministry. So come to terms with it. You are a minister of the gospel. Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. If you like, shout it. If you like, say it under your breath. It is the fact. Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. And I will preach the gospel. And I will serve the saints. Are you here on Thursday? I was explaining this. Now, that's why we're doing this training. To tell you basic
give just basic trade, basic things you must know. For instance, we've looked at the fact that you must learn how to win souls. You must learn how to lead someone to Christ. You must learn how to follow people up. You must learn how to mentor people. These are basic things that the smallest minister should know. Right? We've looked at the fact that you must learn to heal the sick, for instance. You don't need to be a pastor and an apostle to begin to heal the sick. The basic believer should heal the sick. These are basic trainings. You should learn how to serve. We're looking at service last Sunday and on Thursday. You must learn how to serve in the church. You don't need any special appearance from God to begin to serve in the church. The fact that you're in the church, the first thing when you come into a church and say, this is my family, start looking for how can I serve. And here, how we serve, for instance, in this place, is that we expect it to go through our training. Once you're done with the training, we put in a department to begin to serve. You should want to serve. These are basic. And on Thursday, if you are not done Thursday, please get that teaching. Because I took time to explain how you can effectively serve in church. In any church. And the blessings that comes with it. Amen. So today we are looking at how to cast out devils. Are you happy this morning? Are you ready this morning? Because this is another basic training everybody needs. You know, many people make casting out of devils a big deal. And they even create a ministry around it they call deliverance ministry. It's okay. But one thing you must realize is a basic responsibility of the smallest Christian is to cast out devils. Jesus told them in Mark 16, in verse 15, he told them to go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone. That's evangelism. This is what I taught you on. Go and preach the gospel. Then in verse 16, he tells them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He now said in verse 17, this is the fruit of that belief. So, actually, this verse is not saying, you are not wrong when you say that. Listen, this verse is not saying, these signs shall follow you as you go and preach the gospel. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, these signs shall follow the people that believed what you preached. Are you getting the point? So when you get to the street and preach to the guy that was smoking, that was a total unbeliever, and he believes, Jesus is saying, from that moment, these signs begin to follow. What's the first sign? Come on, what is the first sign? The first sign is casting out devils. When I saw this, I was like, wow. And many people put this as what you do when you get to level 999 or level, I don't know how they do all those classifications. But Jesus said that's the first sign. The first sign is that you'll be able to cast out devils. And so, casting out devils is not about levels. It's not about levels. It's not about some kind of maturity. Every believer can cast out devils. If I let me explain this thing to you, and I've hinted this a few times, but let me just see if I can hint it again, maybe not go into details. You see, there is a way, of course, God places people in ministry by trust. If God gives you something to do, and you do well with it, He'll give you more. You know that, right? If God tells you to lead 3 people, and you lead them well, the chances are He's going to ask you to lead 10 people. Because what is happening is that the more you are being faithful with what God is giving you, the more He can trust you. Do you get the point? Do you understand what I'm saying? I think it's normal everywhere. When you bring someone to your company, there are some things you can't give the person. You can't bring in someone you don't know and give the person to handle your finances and all of those things. It's trust. Now, the first job, because there are a first set of jobs that God gives everybody, the smallest Christian, one of them, first is casting out of devils. Because before God, here's what I'm going to say. Before God places you over people in His kingdom, He first places you over devils and things. So you look at the apostles, when they first got saved, when they started following Jesus, what were the jobs Jesus gave them? Number one, cast out devils. Number two, sometimes He'll tell them, share bread. Are you what I'm saying? Go and buy food. So that time He told Peter, go and prepare a hall for me. I want to come and do Passover there. And when you hear prepare a hall, you say, what does it mean? It means Peter was going to go find a hall, right? And then set up the hall. What does it mean again? What is Passover? Passover is food, Abby. So Peter was going to cook. I'm trying to give you an idea. So He gave them menial things. One of those, so the apostles started from ministry of helps. That's what I'm trying to show you. Are you following what I'm saying? But one of those basic things He gives you when you get born again first is to cast out devils. Jesus considers it as the menial things to do
as a Christian.
Just that today we've counted it as the topmost thing to do when your level grow. And you know, without even seeing this from God's word, experientially, I can tell you it's not correct. I have experience with casting off devils, and I started very early. Very early. As I've started dealing with demons less than 1 month as a Christian, and I'm not talking about petty demons, graduate devils, mature ones. Are you getting the point? Very early as a Christian, because you don't need maturity to cast out devils. You just need authority.
Do you hear what I said?
You don't need maturity to cast out. What do you need? Authority. And we have authority in Christ. So you observe in Matthew 10, when Jesus sends his disciples out from verse 5, the first thing he told them when he sent them out, he gave them instruction. So he sent the 12, verse 5 gave them instruction, gave them where to go, verse 6, told them where to go, verse 7. He said, told them what to preach. Then in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. This was their first ever mission work. He said, cleanse the lepers. So, just like I teach, cleansing of lepers is not for some Pastor Chris level. He said that their first mission work, he said, when you see lepers, cleanse them. So, raising the dead is not for some, it's for the basic Christian. And I say, cast out devils. You see this fight that is going on in your heart, sir. This I said is not true. There are levels to this thing. That is the fight this meeting is meant to bring down. Because that fight going on in your heart now is the reason you've not been able to cast out anything from your family, even chicken. Because I'm just arguing. How can you say that any of us can do this thing? Ah, sir, you've not seen devil. If you see devil, you will run. No, you've not seen devil. Do you know where I started ministry? If I can brag a lot, let me brag a lot. A little in the Lord. So that ministry inside village, oh. Some of those dreaded, what is the most dreaded village in Enugu State? They are the one calling the name. But I've toured that village. I've converted native doctors eyeball in those villages. As a Christian, not up to 1 year. They are the one giving ranks to these things. And there is nothing special about me. I'm not saying it to be humble. I don't try being humble. You know, if you're humble, you're humble. If you're not humble, you're not humble. You don't act it. So I'm not trying to be humble. But there is nothing special about me. Just a regular believer, we're just there. Do you get the point? When they say, you can't enter that shrine, say, which shrine? We enter and come and say, which other one? Which other one? You know, those days when I was quite young. So, it's now that I'm grown, I'm thinking of my wife, Jesus, Terem. That I wasn't thinking about anybody. He said, climb out, we climb. Ah, come down. Which other one? And I thank God I had that exposure very early. Yes. Talk of villages. I went to a village that, if I mention them, please, if you understand, a village where there is a triangle, that is a village that has other two villages. They practice witchcraft in triangles. Well, let me not get into that so that I will not scare you. But I went there. 2008, I was in that village. And we saw things. Things saw us. We all saw ourselves. You've got to know all these things. You place ranks. You are your problem. You are your problem. And I'm just telling you plainly. And your preachers are helping. Because somehow they want to feel more important than you. So they make you feel like, you want to confront devils? And you've not done this and done that. I'm not against prayer. I'm not against all those things. But let me tell you, the simplest believer can cast out devils. Simplest believer. Simplest. The smallest. The smallest. If there's anything like that. Do you understand the point? Do you know what authority is? At what age was Josiah in the Bible when he became king? 8 years. Joash, 7 years. Yet, as a small boy as king, if Josiah has stood up to say, let's go and kill all the Philistines, everybody will move. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Yes. That's why the Bible said, woe to him whose king is a child. Well, if your king is a child, anything he says, you will do. He said, I saw Amalekites. Let's go and fight them. You're going to go and fight them immediately. So it's not about his age. It's about the authority he carries. The smallest believer can cast out devils.
The smallest. Are you following me, friends? Come, are you in church this morning?
He told them to cast out devils. Now, this was the 12. When he sent out the 70, because first he sent out the 12, the later he sent out the 70. The 70 returned with the same testimony. Luke 10 verse 17. They told Jesus, even the devils were subject to us in your name. Now, I'm mentioning this 70 because he sent out the 12. He said, those 12 are special apostles. Now, he sent out another 70. These 70, we don't have their name. They are just other guys that were also following Jesus. Because we just had 12 guys. There were other guys that used to perch around. When the 12 sit around him, those ones just stay from a distance and just be listening. So when he finished with the 12, he said, let's also look. If you look, Luke chapter 9 was the sending of the 12. Luke chapter 10 is the sending of the 70. So after he finished with the 12, he said, look, you guys are back. Why are these 70 guys? He said, yes, sir, daddy, we are here. He said, you two go. They also went and came back and said, the devils were subject to us in your name. So it's not about whether you are part of the 12 or not. It's all following me this morning. So when I teach casting out of devils, people feel I'm just trying to hype believers up. It's not hyping anybody up. You can cast out devils. Amen. And I can tell you like three reasons, like mom did in the first service, why you can cast out devils. One is because Satan has been stripped of his authority. Satan has been stripped of his authority. The Bible tells us that. And when I mean Satan has been stripped, Satan was not stripped of his authority the day you prayed. Satan was stripped of his authority the day Jesus went to the cross. Colossians 2 tells us in verse 13. Did they just went to the cross? He said, you being dead in your sins and the usurpation of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. And in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now in verse 15, he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them. So when he went to the cross, he triumphed over principalities and powers. NLT said he disarmed them. So Satan has no authority. Now people say, sir, don't say that Satan has power. I said this happened. I didn't say Satan doesn't have power. I said he doesn't have authority. Satan was a fallen angel. Angels have some sort of power. But there is power and there is authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, sir, that's just English. That's not just English. That is serious. The people that stand behind the president carrying guns, they have power. The president has authority. He can tell them where to shoot and where not to shoot. It's not the same thing. Now, Satan has no authority. Let me use another example for you. The policeman and the thief. The policeman has a gun. The difference is that his gun is licensed. The bullets are crested. They are licensed. He can shoot. And once it's for a good cause, the state even rewards him for shooting. If the thief shoots his own, he's on the run. Because he has power, but doesn't have the authority to use that power. Are you getting the point? He doesn't have the warrant to use it. So Satan has some power, but that's an illegal stuff he's using. Is someone following me this morning at all? That authority has been collected from him. Oh, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 tells us, with NLT, he said that, you know, the son, talking about Jesus, said because the son is a human being. Look at that. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the son also became flesh and blood. Watch. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. So when Jesus died on the cross, he already collected that authority, that exousia, that authority, that power from him. So everything you see is illegal. It's just like a military guy that has been dismissed. A police officer that has been sacked. Are you following me, somebody? But then he's just carrying about because he learned how to shoot gun. Oh, come on. So that's why I want to say I can cast out devils. So imagine, do you know, some robbers can be here and a police officer just needs to appear. Some of them just need to appear and all he needs is a warrant. Arrest warrant, showing that I have the warrant to pick all of you. All of them follow me and enter the truck.
That's authority. We have a warrant. Oh, are you getting the point?
So that's why when we ask, you know, 5 guys, 10 guys can be here doing something, but maybe gambling, doing something wrong, and police van arrives. Sometimes there are only 2 police people in that, all of them, they run. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there's only 2 policemen inside. Once they hear that siren, everybody just scatter. Why are they running? Can't they beat those 2 guys? Well, they can. But those guys are coming with a warrant, an authority. And if you dare stop them and beat them, God help you that you run forever. But if they catch you for assaulting an officer of the law, you will answer for a very long time. So that's why they're running. Because even though they might be physically stronger, these ones coming have the backing of the government. Are you following me, friends? But in our own case, self, Satan is not even stronger. I'm coming to that. So the first reason I say we can't catch up is because Satan has been stripped of his authority. Second reason is because we are not under the dominion of the devil. That's another reason. And it's interesting to know. Because there is a principle in God's word. Because I want to show you why we cast out devils. There's a principle in God's word. In Mark 3:22, Jesus explained something. Give me that verse. I just want to show you this. Jesus said, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, they began to say to him, he had Beelzebub. And by the prince of devils casted he out devils. So they saw Jesus casting out devils and they said, oh, he has a demon. That's why he's casting out devils. So Jesus answered them. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but had an end. So he's saying you can't be a captive of Satan and think you can cast out devils. Because that will be kingdom rising against itself. But the beautiful thing is that we as believers are not under the dominion of Satan. And that's why it's good that Mom explained in that first service, the difference between possession and oppression. They're not the same thing. No believer is under the dominion of Satan. No believer is possessed of the devil. Please don't forget that. No believer, if you're a believer here, and I don't care whether they've been taking you from deliverance to deliverance. I'll even say to you, if you are here and your parents take you from deliverance to deliverance, where they are beating pigeon on your head, please tell them to stop. You are not possessed of the devil. Because you're a believer. I was mentioning that dogs last two weeks, and I mentioned that case about a young girl, and it was very dramatic. I had to correct one of the people that was there. I don't know, I think I saw her this morning. I had to correct her publicly. I said, because I found out that their family, they were taking this girl, deliverance, and I picked that by the spirit, and I called the girl out. And when I called, I wanted to pray for her. I held her because I felt maybe there was something. When I put my hands on her, what I saw in the spirit was that from the first time they began to take that girl around, nothing was wrong with her. But as they began to take her around, she picked up different things. I get what I'm saying? Because all those movements, no believer in Christ can be. Do you know what it means to possess? Possess is a strong word though. Possess means to own. How can I say the devil is possessing? He's owning it. How? So what are you saying? So who owns the believer? The Bible said you are God's own. You are bought with a price. So God buys something with a price and Satan comes to collect it. You have to be very careful here. No believer can be possessed of that. That's why we can cast him out. Because if we are possessed of him or owned by him, then we can't cast him out. Somebody say, no, the possession we're talking about is that he's living in the believer. It cannot even still happen. Because Jesus lives in this body. And the last I checked, I don't think Jesus and the devil are sharing apartments now. I don't think they are roommates now. So then he's saying to Jesus, shift. Your spirit, take this side. May I take this side? That can't happen. I'm not saying the believer might not notice the influence of the devil around him. That can happen. In that case, we are saying the believer can be oppressed. It's not the same thing. It's not just English. So the devil doesn't own a believer, cannot live in the believer, but can come around maybe to cast his influence on the believer's finance. Begins to affect his business.
Are you know what I'm saying? Begins to affect his health.
The reason that believer can stand and deal with that thing is because he's not under the authority. He's not possessed by the thing.
I get what I'm saying now.
So no believer is possessed of them. That's why we can cast him out. Because if we are possessed of him in any way, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan rises against Satan, they will not stand. So it's not possible for you to ever say you can cast out devils if you are carrying a devil in you. But glory to God, no believer carries a devil in him. I'm telling you plainly, no believer. The Bible tells us 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what's the relationship between the temple of God and idols? The believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Say, God lives in me. Come on. That's a bold statement. Say, God lives in me. Say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's something to shout about right there. Come on. God lives in us. How can I say to you, we are not God's hotel room. We are not his service apartment. He doesn't visit. This is his house. He dwells here forever. He said, I will live in them and I will walk in them. You know, he lives in us and we live in him. He says, sir, what kind of English is that? How can somebody be you and you are in him? That tells you there's an inseparable union. So the first thing, you are not, say I'm not possessed. Say it again. How many of you have they ever told that you are possessed at any time in your life? Let me see your hand. Just your hand. Did they ever take you for deliverance? What did they do to you there? Say that, let me tell you a story. story. I even like it like that.
I've seen this. One of the ladies, she told me they would take her, because I've told this story many times. Finished ministering in a meeting, secondary school meeting, and I was moving out of the hall, and this girl ran towards me. And she was crying. I said, what's the problem? He said, sir, I'm possessed. I'm possessed. Help me. So I turned and looked at her. I said, you're possessed? She said, yes. So I now asked her, what's your name? She told me. I called her name. I said, but are you really possessed? She said, no. I said, so why did you tell me you are possessed? She said, that's what everybody's saying. So she told me her story that day. The last escape she had before she came back to the hostel, they had taken her to a place. They kept her there for a few, maybe 2 or 3 days. And she was naked throughout. They were rubbing palm oil on her body from head to toe. And it's supposed to be a church. I'll come into that very shortly. That's not how to cast out devils. No devil lives by palm oil. Do you know, I just told that girl, well, you're not possessed. And I asked her, are you born again? She said, yes. I just got born again in the meeting. I said, do you want to speak in tongues? She said, yes. I put my eyes on her. 5 seconds, all of us was praying in tongues. I said, go home. There was never any problem. There was never any problem. You've got to come out from that stuff. A believer cannot be possessed. A believer can be oppressed of the devil. Okay, a believer can be, you know, it can affect your business. It can even affect the believer's mind. It can torment his mind. He can see terrible dreams. Those things can happen. But he's not under that authority. He's not. And that's how we can deal with him. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Heavenly places in Christ. And in the case you are wondering, where is this place you are seated? Where is Christ seated? If you track back to chapter 1 verse 20, you will see where Christ is seated. So you can understand the context of chapter 2. He said, which he wrought in Christ, and when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. That's where Christ is seated. Chapter 2 now said we are seated with Christ. So you see the context. So it tells you the believer cannot be under the dominion of Satan. We are actually above him. And that's why we carry about our duty. If you say in the devil, we kick him out because we are not under his authority. And you see why teachings can rob believers. How can a believer now confront a demon where he has been told that he's carrying one himself?
Are you know what I'm saying now? And most of those guys that do those things, I can tell you for free, I don't know the interest they have. So they have a lot of selfish interest. Some of those people are perverted people. Sexually perverted people. So every case they must naked the girl. And watch the only girls they want to naked. It's perversion. I've heard things. They want to bath you. They will naked you. They have to naked you and pour pigeon on your body. I've heard many stories. Not once, not twice. Some of them will tell you that they have to, that there are, I'm telling you different things I've heard. That there are three or four openings in a woman's body. That they have to put things in all those places. So they put in your mouth, in your nose, in your buttocks, in your vagina. Real life thing. Because they're casting things out. This is serious perversion. And you know the painful thing? It is mothers that carry their children to those places. Don't be a foolish mother. And if your mother was ever like that, please forgive your mother already. She didn't know better. But that has to stop. I follow what I'm saying. You are not possessed. Is that what him now call? He did not possess. I don't know who needs to hear this. And let me even tell you, I've always believed this and I'm saying that we're having a meeting. Because my sister is here. we're having a meeting and there was this woman of God that we respected and we still respect till today. Great, great woman of God. And you were in the meeting. And my sister and her friends, three of them, we are all under my tutelage, you know, all of that. So they just finished secondary school. So they came for the meeting. And in the meeting, I think they were wearing uniform, maybe. They were wearing, three of them, go secondary school graduates. They bought clothes together, polo and skirt, and they were wearing it. Not even trousers, skirt, long skirt. Because if it is trousers, it's another matter. Long skirt. And this one of God, for whatever reason she picked, whatever, she now said she wanted to do them deliverance. I was now saying, when did you join? Confess. Come on. I just stood in that meeting. What I'm trying to tell you, what I'm teaching you has no respect for anybody's, for whatever level the man of God is. I still respect that woman today, but that day she was wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? That day she was wrong. So I was there with my friend, Pastor Casey. So he just looked at me, I looked at him. And she could do that because she doesn't know them. And they had just plaited this fine hair, you know. At the time she was doing those things, these ladies, we are very actively involved in ministry, going from school to school, doing so well with me, preaching the gospel and all of that. But she doesn't know them. So they were doing all that. When did you join? Come out. Openly confess. Say it. And you can imagine, you know, that can be very embarrassing. So me, I knew that they were going to sleep in my house that day. Because we had to do some detoxification. Are you know what I'm saying? We had to do some renewing of the mind. Come out from that stuff. You can't be possessed. And she said, don't worry, we'll handle it tomorrow. We'll handle it tomorrow. That tomorrow, she didn't remember it again. Because there was nothing. And maybe I know why maybe she did that. Maybe they were not praying as she wanted them to pray. You know, if I'm praying very seriously, and somebody just praying very calmly, man, I can say, come on. Somebody wanted to do that to me anyway. It's just that, how do they say it in Igbo? You are to. Now, young man, because it's not me, you can do that. Why I be looking at you? I was coming from a series of meetings. Very tired. We're having an all night. So they were praying. I was praying too, but I wasn't like, you know, going. I was praying. So the man came to me. Hey, that thing in you. I also wanted to pray. I smiled. Let me tell you. Boldness is not arrogance. I'm not arrogant, but I'm very bold. Just keep that one aside. I'm very bold. And when it has to do with scriptures, so I said, sir, nothing's wrong, man. I'm just tired. Yeah, I told him, I'm just tired. I just remember this and I'm telling him, Lord, I've never told this before. Sir, nothing's wrong with me, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I'm praying, sir. I'm going to pray till morning, but I'm just tired. There is nothing disturbing me. He left. Yes.
I didn't insult him. Do you understand? But I told him, I'm just tired.
Me possessed of the devil? Which part of me will the devil enter? We are far above all principalities and powers. That's why we can confront the devil at any time. At any time. Even in our dreams. At any time. Another reason why I believe that we can cast out devils, what the Bible teaches, is because we have the name, the authority of Jesus. We have that name. That is a gift God gave every believer. That gift is the name of Jesus. And listen, it's not just a gift, it's an inheritance. That name, hear this, is not the name Jesus. It's not like shouting Jesus. When we talk about name, we're talking about an authority. His authority. Do you know what it means to stand in someone's authority? In other words, it means God gave us the freedom and the power to stand as Him. So if I say I'm here on the authority of my pastor, I'm here on the authority of the president. In other words, everything I say has to be treated as though the president has said it. That's what we do. When we say in Jesus' name, you devil come out. The devil is treating it as if Jesus is saying it. Because we are there in His name. That's what my mom was saying the first time. If you heard her, she said you can actually cast out devils in the name of Jesus without saying in Jesus' name. And it's actually correct. Saying Jesus' name is fine. It makes you feel good. But listen, it's about in whose name you came. Those seven sons of Sceva told that devil, we come against you in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. The devil beat them up. Because now we're shouting in Jesus' name. Those guys were not even born again. Are you getting the point? They were just setting sons. So they didn't have that authority. It's not about shouting in Jesus' name. But when we come in that name, when we rebuke the devil in that name, he can't say no, because as you're saying that, that is the authority of Jesus represented in that moment. So we can cast out devils. And when I'm talking about casting out devils, you can cast out devil from people. I can tell you that there are a few things. I can cast out devil from people. From people. Because that sometimes it is people who are possessed or believers who are oppressed. Whichever be the case, we can cast out devil from them. Jesus cast out devils. There was a man called the madman of Gadara, one of the most madmen in the Bible. One of the maddest men you've ever seen. You've ever seen and read about it. That's Mark chapter 5. Have you heard of him? Do you know him? That man was so mad. Mark chapter 5 verse 1. I don't know if you've seen a more mad person. They came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Okay, they came over there, yes. And when he was come out of the ship, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. So he bind him with chains, he tears it. So demons can possess people. Glory to God. Neither could any man tame him. Now verse 5. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, the devil is a wicked devil. And that's why the believer must be armed on how to cast out devils. Because people are going through a lot, and it's because of these small, small demons parading themselves. So not only was this guy mad, he was living among the tombs. That's burial ground. That's where he was staying. So he will be there. They bind him with chains. He tears the chains. You will not think he's tearing the chain to gain freedom. He's tearing the chains to be able to pick up stones and be cutting himself morning and night and be shouting. So think of how his body is going to look. Think of, I get the point. For years. But thank God for Jesus. Glory to God. Verse 6. Bible tells us, and but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. So it wasn't him. It was that demon. So that demon recognized that this is Jesus. So when we say we come in Jesus' name, Amaletaya. When we say we come in the name of Jesus, from far, before Jesus said that, they recognized that it was him. So when I say I'm here in Jesus' name, once I come into the town, every demon knows that I came. Listen, I told you, I know it. Once I come into town, every devil, you see that place where I'm going to build spiritual hope, every devil around there, they're alerted. And that's not bragging. I've told this story many times. We've gone to a village for missions. We are just pacing around the community. The second day, nobody knew that we came. We are not even carrying, but we're wearing jeans. We And we stopped at a place and they were pointing towards this. That's the village idol. That's the community idol. I was going to tell them, let's go down and pray. But they said, the guy leading us said, I want to take you guys to the boundary of the community, because when we enter a place of mission, we first just go around to get to know the place and all of that. As we were there doing that drama, just within that 3 to 5 minutes, we were just standing there trying to deliberate whether we should go or stand. A man came there. People started gathering around us. Say, who are you people? Now, this is not a lonely place. This is a big marketplace. Every other person was there. You see, the idol was in the marketplace. Who are you people? Okay. We are missionaries and all that. What are you guys doing here? So they were just interrogating. I was like, what rubbish is this? They continued and continued and continued. What brought you people here? Do you know, as that interrogation went on, a man with a Kata motorcycle, not a motorcycle, they call it, just landed. His body was dirty. I had blood on his body. So he arrived. I said, where are they? That man happened to be the chief priest of that village idol. And he said from where he was dead because he was working in the farm. From where he was working in his farm, that devil alerted him that some people have come to send him out of town. So from there, he now made that call to people in that market to locate us and stop us. Real life story. So that blood on his body when he was driving, he fell down. Because he was rushing to come and see us. I said, we didn't pray. And why? It is the same thing that happened there. When that madman saw Jesus, he came and worshipped him. Is someone following me this morning? You want to know how this story ended? Eh? It was not easy. Because they crowded us. They told us to sit on the floor. Yes. If you see the mob, one even broke bottle, one brought out dagger. Say, I go through with a one for sure, our gods. I say, see this one. And we just began to pray, and God intervened, sha. Because as we were there, they've had a lot of evil plans for us that day. We didn't know. Because the village we are talking about there is not an Igbo speaking community, so they were speaking a dialect we didn't know. We didn't understand them. So one of them sneaked, I'm telling you real life stuff, and came behind us. This is what I'm talking to you about, you know, because I was working with the Anglican church then. If you go to the Anglican church in Osoka, it was a popular story that year, 2008. Because even the bishop himself came to the community because of that stuff. Yes. So they just came, the man just sneaked and came and whispered to us, these people are going to tell you people that they want to take you to the police station. He said, if when they say that, don't agree to follow them. They are planning to waste all of you on the way. Yes. So, in less than 35 minutes, they came and told us, oh yeah, let's go to the police station. And I said, why? What, for what? They said, we must go to the police station. I told them, okay, people should go and call police, come and carry us from here. Ah, they went wild. That's where somebody now broke bottle. But I said, yeah, I go, chuk, chuk. But I said, what did I do? One of them that picked offense. He was the counselor of the community. He picked offense. He said, you, what class are you in? I said, I just finished SS3. He said, just finished SS3. You've not even seen your WAEC results. And you are here wasting a while in away your time. And it's just that I was very small. I wanted to tell you, if I was well, no matter, why are you here? Then I was very small. If I said, they would have beat me up that day. So, but it was in my mind. I said, I'm well away my time. And you got out there because of me. We have power in the name of Jesus. So when that madman saw Jesus, he came and worshipped him. And the next verse began to beg him. He said, what have I to do with Jesus? I adjure you that thou torment me not. Then he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. We're going to get to that very shortly. So I'm trying to show you, demons can possess people. They can get into people and possess them. Demons can possess things. So when I'm talking about casting out of devils, I'm not just talking about from people. That is from people. Maybe they are possessed. Some of them are not possessed. Some of them are oppressed by the devil. There are people you are going to meet. Is their mind being oppressed by the devil? You see them say, I'm depressed. Anybody you see that is always saying, I'm going to get to that very shortly. Always saying, I'm depressed. There is a demonic oppression. We're going to get that very shortly. So demons can possess people's body and their mind. Demons can possess things. Things that are not human beings. An example, Jesus was to cast out the devil. Remember that story? And the devils begged him that they wanted to enter the pigs.
And they entered pigs. So demons can enter things.
And to tell you how destructive demons are, immediately they entered those pigs. All those pigs went and fell inside the water. All of them. Demons are destructive beings that you don't let around your space. You know, when I read that place, one thing that came to my mind, so this is somebody's business that just wasted. 2,000 pigs. See, my mother was like, 2,000 pigs. A demon, demons entered 2,000 pigs and they went into the water. But one man was carrying all those demons in his body. Can you imagine that? One, they entered 2,000 pigs, all of them wasted in the water. So demons can enter things. I mean, even inanimate things. We can just, sometimes demons can trouble cars. Have I seen that? Yes. I was in Benue State to minister in a dramatic story. Now, I'm not saying every car that has issues is the devil. I'm going to get to that very shortly to clear it. I was ministering in Aliede, Benue State, and the next morning when we wanted to go, I got a call from Naka. You know Benue State very well. You know what I'm talking about. I got a call from Naka. And from Naka, the guy told, because I've ministered in Naka a year before. The man told me, he said, in my dream, my wife saw a dream last night where an angel told us to send for you that you are in Benue State. That was accurate. Because I was actually in Benue State planning to leave that morning. And I was there with my friend, Pastor Casey and Bochine, so you can ask them. So when that call came, we headed to Naka, believing that God has asked us to go there. So we went to the place. It was a family. And my God, why did they send for me? Because they were having issues, problem after another. They went to a certain woman who actually saw in the spirit that they were having problem. The woman now asked them to pay money. So they negotiated. The woman stopped at 90,000. They were begging the woman with about 40,000, maybe 45,000. Yes. So when they were now frustrated, God now told them to call me. Among other issues, what was one of the issues? The man was a driver. They had this car. Every time they repair, they've changed the engine. Every time, everything keeps going down. They've changed the engine. The engine went down again. It kept happening. And so they had parked the car. So as they were telling the story, they were just telling us all the things they were passing through in their family, how people have been dying. They mentioned that car in passing. Because of course, they didn't feel we could do anything about it. So I was praying. I just had that leading. I said, where is the car? They showed us. We went and laid us on the car and prayed. We prayed and we left. We were on our way going, coming down to Enugu, Abitonsoka. They called. The car just started. No mechanic touched it. Demons can afflict things and mess people's life up. I know what I'm talking about. And as a believer, must be taught in how to deal with some of these things. Not just because your family needs it or you. Because there are people out there that you can help with these things. My only problem is that they did not give us that money they were begging that woman with. It doesn't make sense. You are begging somebody 40,000 and I came. You just give me like small money. Let me not tell you the amount, but it was not fair. But it's okay. But I know the reason I'm that time. I know why the reason I was like, but you are begging somebody with 45,000 or 40,000. I think you either you are not begging. And most of those places where they see, once you begin to trade money for anointing, nothing there. Most times, nothing is there. In fact, sometimes nothing was even there from the beginning. So demons can possess people. You can find it on things. It can be in places. Okay, if you go for missions a lot, you can get to a land. You find that lands are terrorized by demonic spirits. But what I'm trying to show you is that the believer has rights to cast out devils. Because Satan has been stripped of his authority. We are not under his dominion. And we have the name of Jesus. And so that's why I want to make this statement. Even though the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and powers, I'm not doubting that it's a wrestle. But you must understand what that wrestling is. We are not actually in a combat as two people enter the ring and are fighting. The battle has been won. That's what I'm trying to show you. So the battle where people sing, I'm not doubting that is a battle. But we must understand what the battle is. We are in battle, but that battle is not like two people fighting, the referee has announced. The battle has been won. Let me explain to you how it is. A thief has been, the court has issued judgment that someone should go for 10 years imprisonment. And they now send the police to go and pick the person. The police is not there to fight. They come with their warrant. The court has declared that you are going in or you follow us. Now, if a person proves any resistance, we have the backing of the government to deal with him and take him to prison. So we are not actually fighting the devil as per one-on-one. The battle has been won. So we are just there to enforce the victory that has been gotten by Jesus. So you must learn how to cast out devils. Are you learning something? Now let's get a little more practical. Because I'm just trying to lay foundation. One of the things you must do before I get to the practical part, try to avoid extremes. You know, that was mentioned in the first service and it's bears repeating. Try to avoid extremes. Of course, there are two extremes. Extreme number one is where people say, I don't believe that devils exist. All this demon thing, I don't believe in all this demon thing. That's not a good place to be. Because there are demon things. So. You know, there are people who are there. And they think that, I was saying it in Obole, the one I was ministering. Some people feel that's what it means to be a grace person or a faith person. Something is going wrong in your family. You say, well, all I know is that nothing is wrong. You have 18 girls in your family, extended family. None of them have gotten married. They're over 40. So all I know is that nothing is wrong. I don't believe that. Okay. Something is wrong. So that's an extreme to say that there's nothing, there's no devil. I don't believe that doesn't mean you're a faith person. Jesus did not say that when you stand before the mountain, you should start saying, there is no mountain. As far as I'm concerned, there's no mountain here. Are you following the point? What did he say? You shall speak to the mountain. So to deny the existence of demonic forces is a dangerous extreme. But there's another extreme you must also avoid, and that's the extreme of superstition. To become too devil conscious. Where everything happening in your life is Satan. Are you getting the point? I wrote an exam and I failed. It's Satan. Whereas you didn't read. It's Satan though. That's Satan. Make sure you did not read. You have become conscious. And that's where many people are. And that's why they will forever be victims in the hands of false prophets. Because when rats runs through there, they say, I talk them. They are here. That's the problem. Now, if you want to know whether it's the devil, put rat poison. Are you following me? So are you saying that rats cannot, Satan cannot possess rats? It can. But not every rat. In fact, one out of every 1,000 rats you will see are not possessed of it. In fact, one out of every 100,000, no, one out of every 500,000 rats you will see, nothing is doing them. You just did put rat poison. It's awful I'm saying now. Just like I say, that is owl. Is it owl? Abi, owl. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, Abi? Yeah. How many of you believe that God created every creature on earth? So God created owl. So when Noah was taking animals in pairs into the ark, he took owl. Do we believe that one? Because somebody is wondering, why didn't Noah leave it out? So he took it to show you that God created those things. Maybe because they're a bit scary. So, you understand what I'm saying? He said, but they're actually scary. He said, why does it always come out at night if it's not witch? Because they only see at night. Are you not aware? Even bats only see at night. So bats are not demons. You know, the compound where we grew up, there is a place where there are about 5,000 bats. Like, and you think I'm exaggerating now, right? they hide under one ceiling. And not all of them will come out. You've never seen that number of bats in your life. Some of you know what I'm saying. If you go to that place, all of them just So they can that you can if you take that company, we pray. Sometimes I'm inside the chapel doing the treats, those bats will just come inside the chapel. Is there fire? Don't be superstitious, my brother. Yes, there is devil, but everything is not the devil. So even as you go up and down doing your ministry, don't be superstitious. Not everybody that says things are not going well for me, it means there's a devil in the person's family. That's not always the case. Sometimes people are just lazy. So I'm just need advice. Are you getting the point? And not cast out of devils. Just like when it has to do with sickness, because I'm going to get into the practical thing now. Because what you do before himself, I want to say, what you do when you stand before a case, the first thing you do, just like what the doctor will do, is diagnosis, right? When a doctor wants to treat a case, first thing you do is diagnosis. Well, let me know what is wrong with you. So the doctor will start by asking you a question. I don't need to ask questions. I'm just telling you what the doctor will do. He will say, where is the pain? Here. Does it come regularly? All those questions, you know, I'll say, okay, go and run this test and run that test. And so that's what I do when I stand before a case, because I know that even though every problem is primarily caused by the devil because of the fall of man, not every problem has a demon actively involved in it. And so the first thing I want to check is, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Now, so how do I get to know that? The answer is simple. By the Spirit. What do you mean by the Spirit? Check your spirit, man. This is what I'm telling you, I do it all the time. If people are lined up here, I'm doing healing line. You notice there are people I will just pray for. Be healed, be healed. There are other people I will get to, I will say, you foul devil, tormented is what you get out. Because not every sickness is directly caused by demons. But some are. Are you getting the point? So how you get to know that is by your spirit. Are you enjoying this class? It's by your spirit that you get to know. Because if it's not by the spirit, if you just want to look at things face to face, you get confused. You know, the first way Satan was introduced in the Bible is as a serpent. He's cunning. Very cunning. So Acts 16 verse 16, Paul and the rest were taking a walk. They came to preach. And so, look at this. As we went to prayer, watch this story. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. When you look at this, you feel, divination. Maybe she was behaving crazy. What was she doing? Bible says she was bringing her master's much gain. Do you know what soothsaying is? What is soothsaying? She was saying things that were real. She was doing, shall I prophesy? That's what she was doing. Give me another translation of this. Because I'm trying to tell you that if without the spirit, you're going to get confused. This girl, she was a fortune teller. So people used to come and meet her and give her money to see the future for them. That's why a believer, a prophet is not a soothsayer. And a prophet becomes a soothsayer and a fortune teller when he begins to collect money to prophesy. You hear what I said? Once you collect money to prophesy, now you're a soothsayer, you're a fortune teller. Say amen. I'm sorry if that's where I'm coming from, but say amen. So she was making her master a lot of money. So when, look at the next verse. The same followed Paul. Now look at the point. What was she crying when she was following Paul? Was she saying, evil men crucified? What was she saying? These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. So she was correct and accurate. So you see, if you just walk by what we can see, well, this girl now was not misbehaving. She was not even running mad. She was a normal girl, just as she used to see things. And in this case, she even acknowledged the ministry of Paul. Just like I'm walking out now, and somebody just says, that's Pastor Henry, anointed of God, full of the Spirit. The Holy Enugu should listen to him. What we should do is to start rejoicing. But that's not Paul. Verse 18. And this did she many days. She kept doing that many days. And Paul being grieved. I love the authority of the apostles. So from day one, Paul knew she had a vision, but didn't mind. Just left her. She was just doing her thing. You know, that's what some of you feel. If you don't cast out these witches now, they will kill us. I don't think so. If I don't want to deal with a witch can be sleeping next to my bed and I'll be sleeping well. You didn't hear what I said, though. But say, if you don't, also for not a witch to live, if they don't die, you cannot prosper. I don't see it that way. 30 witches can sleep side by side my bed and in my parlor, and I'll just sleep too. They will sleep, I'll sleep. Because from the first day, Paul didn't say, that's because of divination. Let's pray. Paul ignored her and was doing his thing. So one day he was just angry. He was just giving the spirit and said, I command the name of Jesus, come out of her. Yes. Are you following what I'm saying now? So how did Paul know? Because Paul didn't know that girl had the spirit of divination by what she said. Paul didn't know by how she acted.
Paul just knew by the Spirit.
So when you are the minister to people, you got to check your spirit man. So what's wrong with this person? You check him. Even though there are a few things that you can see that will be a guide. For instance, those things one was mentioned in the first service. When you see protracted cases, cases that have stayed for long and they have done everything, even though again you have to check by the Spirit. Because this is what I'm saying, check by the Spirit. There are protracted cases that is not actually demons. Just that they've not found out what the problem is. Let me give an example. This, many people in Igbo land believe in what we call Ogbanje. Do you know Ogbanje? Do you know Ogbanje? Okay, if you don't know Ogbanje, if you know Ogbanje, tell your neighbor what is Ogbanje. Because some people are not Igbo. So it's not me that will explain it to them. So explain to them. How does Ogbanje manifest? They say if they give birth to a child, the child will die. You know, they just keeps dying and all of that. And many people were carrying their children up and down. Do you know, after medicine advanced for some time in Nigeria, they found out that thing was sickle cell killing people. Do you understand? That thing was what? Sickle cell. SS. People are not checking their genotype. So they now give birth to the first child, you die. Second child, die. Third child. Eventually, they now give birth to a child that is AS. Or AA. They now say, this one lived because we put mark on his face. And they didn't realize they put mark on other people and they died. They now named the child. What do we name the child? Ozem. Ah, oh, you know them. Ozem, man. That is, another one should not happen. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, I'm not saying Satan cannot do that, but in that particular case, most of those cases was not any demonic anything. Most of those cases were just sickle cell. Many of those things. I get the point. We had a case, I've had this case, not one, not two, many cases where someone said, I had a wound, I matched ordinary nail. It has refused to heal. The more we're treating it, the more it's expanding. The more we're treating it, the more it's refusing to heal. And people are praying. Most of it is not demon. Person has diabetes. Because diabetes don't let wounds heal. Am I right? Uh-huh. But you know the kind of person, this wound, I've been praying, we have been taking it, we are treating it, is increasing. We are treating it. It's not demon anything making the wound not to heal. You mean like what diabetes? What's the surname? Yeah, surname. So most people don't get it. So you find that they carry a person to the hospital, they just say, oh, it's diabetes. You treat the diabetes, the person is fine. So it's not every case that has a direct involvement. It's over good what I'm saying now. But then, there are cases that have stayed for long. You pay attention, you find out that they've done everything, and there's a demon afflicting the person. There are cases like in Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. So this guy was dumb, but it was caused by a bad spirit. And continue, every sign showed it. That not just was he dumb, sometimes the spirit comes on him, takes him up, tears him into pieces, and begins to foam in his mouth. Give me like an NLT. This is not a medical condition, sir. Being dumb might be a medical condition. But the spirit will seize him, throw him violently to the ground, then he foams at his mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. Then after some time, he becomes fine again. Do you understand the point? See, not just that he wasn't talking. So, there are cases like that to find out, this is a demonic case. This is a demonic case. Matthew chapter 8, you have some other stories like that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Hallelujah. When he was, of course, he met two people possessed with the devil. Another story like that. And they were exceeding fierce. No man was passed. This one said, they were two possessed. Nobody passes that way. Everybody avoided that route because they were there. Two men. I ever met such mad people? There was one mad man we knew growing up. If you sight him from far, just start going back. This man will pursue you and stop. So you notice nobody was passing that way. Now that was a demonic spirit. So there are cases, but then the ultimate way to know is to check your spirit. And checking your spirit is not big English. Don't stop looking as though you're not a believer. Just as you're praying, check what you know in your heart at that time. That's why some people come to my office and they wonder, you just complain about something, and instead of me to pray for, I start advising you. I get to the point. Well, as they're talking, I'm just getting, there's no devil involved in this thing. This guy just needs to do better. Then I'll just advise you. I've missed it a few times. That's why we're growing. One of those days I missed, I used to tell you that guys that story, was that girl that came to me some years ago, and she was telling me that, when I read, I don't understand. I can't read anything. I can't even spell my name. She was 14. You know that story, right? And I began to advise her. I said, then take your studies more seriously. I even called my host, people that invited me for the program, and I said, this lady, this girl, I want to be able to take her in and teach her, mentor her, let her. So when the person left, he says, sir, you don't know what I'm saying. I said, what are you saying? It will not work. That thing they want to teach me will not work. I say, why are you saying that? Don't say that. Don't speak doubts. Speak faith. No, I say, sir, I'll just tell you how it happened. I used to be smart. Till I came out one day in the middle of the night to ease myself in the village, and a spirit appeared to me, put its hand on my head, and took something. He said, from that day, so you battery again. Then from that day, nothing passes the head. Now that one is not advice. I get what I'm saying. That one is not read your book. Let's put you in lesson center. I'll get the best teachers. So when I'm done with this study, some of you will know. When you have a younger brother or a son or a daughter who suddenly comes back and becomes unusually stubborn from nowhere, everything is not advice, sir. Sometimes there is a foul devil that have taken hold of that person. Then you start advising. You say, if I make it, I piapo gear. It cannot piapo everything. Can also remove everything. And you find that in some of those cases, as you are flogging, it's getting worse. Everything is getting hardened. If you are discerning as a parent, you look closer and just say, an enemy has done this one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is helping us. So, when you notice, sometimes you notice repeated patterns too. Not every repeated pattern is caused by the devil, but some repeated patterns can be caused by the devil. So, I mention to someone, a person tells you, this is going wrong. Just pay attention to your spirit, man. There can be bad patterns that mean there's a demonic interference. There can be strange happenings that can't be traced to anything in the natural. Sometimes I get a community, this happens sometimes when I go for mission, you get a community, you find that everybody in this community has this problem. You can't explain it. We've gone to a community where every family we went to that had any child up to 15 or 16 had another child. When you see it in one family, in two families, in three families, maybe coincidence, when you see it in 30 families, everyone you enter, all of them, you just know that there is something wrong. That the spirit of immorality is strong in the land. And there is immorality, but there is the spirit of immorality. Are you getting the point? There is drunkenness, then there is the spirit of drunkenness. Do you know that? How many of you have ever seen this matter? Where somebody was not drinking at all, and suddenly woke up one day and became a drunkard. Have you ever seen this kind of person anywhere? Suddenly woke up one day. He wasn't drinking. It's not like he began to drink and began to grow into it. This one just woke up one day. From not drinking at all to living in the beer parlor. Those are not cases you begin to say, you, if you like, drink away your life and die. Sometimes you should know there's a stronger influence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Raise that up. Before the throne is where we've come to offer prayer. You can see it. Don't worry, see it. And seek we.
You have torn the veil. That's it. No more.
Say, before the throne, sing.
Before the throne.
My God. Come on, my God. You are dealing with strange forces. There are things you don't negotiate now. There are things you don't advise. Everything is not counsel. Everything is not advice. Everything is not, and even in your own personal life, everything is not reading books. There are things that books and strategy can solve. There are things that the power of the name of Jesus can fix. So the first thing is diagnosis. You diagnose what's causing this. If it's not anything, sometimes it's just, maybe somebody can be sick and it's not like a direct presence of a demon. So what do you do in that case? Just cast out tell that sickness, get out of this body, sickness will go. You cancer, or you speak to the leg grow, the leg will grow. Eyes open, it will open. There were people Jesus met in his healing ministry that he prayed for like that. But there were others he met that he didn't pray for like that. And we're going to look at that very shortly. But then the first thing you do is do your diagnosis. The spirit is the ultimate lead. Once you just sense that this is what it is, then you act. Before you act, please let me mention, never give in to fear. Never give in to fear. Even if you feel fear, never speak fear. Never speak fear. Never speak fear. No matter, because that's what the mom said. You see, fear is the devil's. How did she put it? Fear and that is the devil's last battle or something like that. That's the last card the devil plays, where he can no longer do anything to you. Because sometimes you want to cast out the devil from a person. I've seen crazy things, and I know you can see this is once you get involved. I've seen drama. If you want to cast out the devil from a person, just begins to do like snake. All those things is drama. Some of you know this one. I was missing in a village. I think that was it that Machala in Ugwe's game many years ago. I was missing in that place. Big crusade actually. And then, just while that meeting was going on, people were getting healed, getting on anointing and all that, and they ran to me, and they came and told me about, Father, it's this girl that is manifesting, and that many people have come up, they've prayed for her, and she's not yet delivered. So that, wait, I just tell him, so that when I close the crusade, we can take her aside and deal with her matter personally. I don't like giving the devil that kind of attention. I've grown past that. So I said, why not now? They said that, but sir, this is a small case. So I picked the fence. I said, bring her. They brought her out. And I stopped everyone from, this is not right. I always tell you this whenever I tell this story. This is not right. I stopped the crusade. And I told the girl, hey, you foul devil. Manifest, let me see you. And she began to. I know the game. That thing is just fear. And you can see as she was in the show, everyone said, hey, fire, water, thunder. Never let the devil. I've seen drama. I've seen a girl wanted to cast out. I've seen somebody vomit egg.
3 eggs. I can imagine you say, hey, that's your other tricks. It's what God I'm talking about. Now, sir, what if I really get scared? The good thing is, Satan doesn't read thoughts. It is what you say. So don't act in accordance with the feeling. No matter what you feel, be say, speaking the word of God. Are you following the point? And so, never then, what do you do? Ask that demon to get out of that place. Or the body, or what have you. This is a very simple thing. Whether you make your diagnosis, just ask the devil to go. Like, don't just speak vainly. Don't say, in the name of Jesus, Father, come and take control. Mm-mm. I get to the point. Don't start singing. That's not what I'm asking you to do at that point. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Like what was saying in the first service, people say, I rebuke you. I rebuke you is not any prayer. I rebuke you is Abaram Gimba, I shout at you. I get to the point. Look at how Jesus casted out devils. In some cases, he even directed the devils where to go. See, was that specific? Are you following what I'm talking about? He was that specific. So look at what Paul did. Paul asked that demon, come out of her. So you can, Jesus speaks this way. Jesus can say, I rebuke you, get out of that body. I have joy in the name of Jesus, get out of that body. So you can ask the devil to get out. So Paul said, I command in the name of Jesus. Now, that's nowhere to stop. I command you in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. What is the command? To come out of her. Amen. So people even don't know what to pray with because of fear. Say in the name of Jesus, I bind you, I lose you. I bind you, I lose you in Jesus' name, I bind you. So which one are you doing exactly? You can just tell the person is speaking out of fear. Don't you see how relaxed I am when I'm casting out the devil? Very relaxed. Because Satan is under my feet. Where is Satan? Where is Satan? Don't do like exalted kids now. Where is Satan now? And it's not just because we say it to excite ourselves. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that God has given, that Jesus is seated far above, give me verse 22. He is seated far above principalities and powers and even in that his name. Now in verse 22, he said, I had put all things under his feet, under the feet of Christ. And then, look at, he said, God puts all things, that is the devil, under the feet of Christ. And now said, and gave Christ, that's him, to be the head over all things to the church. Give verse 23. Which is his body. So he's saying everything is under Christ. And the church is the body of Christ. So it means this is God. This is Christ. Christ is this place, head. Where is the church? The church is from neck to the feet. And God said, put Satan. So it's not just that we say, he's actually under my feet. So you see that realization? I say, come out of her. Come out, come out, come out. Let's go. Sometimes I don't even let the person know I've cast out devils already. I say that all the time. I've had cases where people just come to my office. As they're coming, I can already sense a strange influence coming with them. I see them begin to talk. So that's under my breath. I will just say, oh, you foul devil. Get out of this place. Go. And in the next 5 seconds, person changes. See, it's not like I was saying. I heard that from a man of God. He said he went to do follow up. Want to follow this girl up. She has not been coming to me for some time. So immediately he came in. The girl started talking. Say, you've come to know why I'm not in church, Abby. Why I'm not in church, Abby? Do you people care about me? Do you people care about me when I was not there? Do you even if I've eaten? No, he said, I've not said anything. So, he said that she was talking. He saw this demon like a monkey. Every time you see demon, it's always small. Except you don't have knowledge. Said, but I've seen the one that is big after this teaching. He says, how do you know the demon is small? They entered pig. You don't get it. They entered pig. So he says, he saw that demon like a monkey. perching on the lady's her shoulder, talking, whispering to her. I'm telling you, these things are real. Spiritual world is a very real place. And she was saying, nonsense. You know what's going on, how I'm doing? I'm never going to, look, listen, there's no point coming. I know the saints will come and talk about me, but I'm not going to come and go. And then, as she was talking, she just said, in fact, let me even come. As she stormed to go, the man said, the demon also followed her. And under his breath, he said, hey, out of this place. Get out of the door. He just ran like that. And went out. And she went into the bedroom or be the kitchen and came out again. And said, anyway, Sha, I know I should have called. I feel I should have called. But then, anyway, I'm sorry. Just that I was very pissed. Nobody apologized to her. Nobody corrected her. I get what I'm saying now. Yeah. You give command in the name of Jesus. Go. Because let me tell you something about the devil. Sometimes, I just give you something. He can just take advantage of what has happened. Somebody can lose someone or lose a relationship or lose money. That's a sad event. So naturally, it's expected the person will be sad for some time. Do you understand? He may be angry. But the devil is going to step in there. You now find that someone after 6 months is still depressed over 40,000 naira that she lost 6 months ago. Do you understand? Still moody all over the place. Most times, a devil is supervising that situation already. You know, I said for the people that are depressed, I said all the time, always feel that they are depressed because of a problem they have. Newsflash, that's not true. I have not found that, have you ever been depressed? Let me see your hand. Just raise your hand now. Raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Raise your hand. Be sincere. Yes. Have you ever been depressed more than 3 times in your life? Do you observe? Today you might be depressed because you lost money. And this is because I don't have money. I'm just so broke. Then somehow God provides for you and you now have a job. Everybody will expect that you will never be depressed again. Tomorrow, you get depressed again. Say, what's causing that one? I now have money. But where I see husband? Then somehow you get married. After some time, you get depressed again. You say, why are you depressed? Is this one husband? There will always be a reason. And the devil always pins that into something. So that you will not see that he's the one doing it. It takes the discerning eyes of the spirit to see that I know this thing. This is the power devil. So as you go to the field, as you preach for people, as you talk to them, be spiritual and direct. And I always tell you to speak boldly. Speak boldly. You see how Paul spoke to that devil. Come out of her. Let me tell you, Satan is afraid of boldness. Especially boldness that stems from knowledge of who you are in Christ. He's afraid of it. And I'm not talking about bold face. I mean real boldness. See, where does it come from? The righteous is as bold as lion. That knowledge of your righteousness, that knowledge of who you are in Christ, is afraid of that boldness. Be bold. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as you're doing that, please be attentive. I want to talk about this boldness thing, but Lord, I should finish if I go back to it. Be attentive to know when a demon has left a person or a place. Now, this is very important because many people don't know. So, many people, when they're casting out devils, they're waiting for the person to fall down. You devil, get up. So the person fall down. And then when you do not fall, they believe that nothing has changed. So they keep going on and on. That's not how to know. Some of us, we believe the devil has gone when they see the situation change. Not always. Not always. Listen, how to know that the devil has left a place when you ask the devil to go? Is it your spirit? I told you when I was talking to you about praying for the sick. If I'm praying for the sick, I'm actually checking. If I pray for your eyes to open, I'm not looking at your eyes. I'm checking my spirit, man. Once I get it's done, I'll tell you it's done. You better open your eyes. I get any point? Because look at what confuses many people. One, they are waiting for physical manifestation. That can be physical. The person can even fall down. The person can vomit. The person can scream. That's that. But there are cases where the person doesn't even vomit or scream or do anything. And there are cases where the person even screams and falls down and the devil is still there.
Are you getting the point? So what are you checking? You're checking, how is my spirit? Is my spirit saying this is done? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now look at what I'm trying to teach you. Why it is, why you do this and I'm saying is, the devil can leave a, somebody can be sick. I'll show you this in the Bible. Somebody can be sick, maybe dumb, and you command that dumb spirit to go, caused by a demon, and the dumb spirit goes, but the person is still dumb. What is happening is that that dumb spirit has gone. Once you now get the light, your spirit, that spirit has gone, what do? Command that tongue to be loosened. So, I can come to your business, and I say, there's a demon to the right of this, and I cast the demon to go. How will I know the demon has gone? I get it in my spirit. So when I now get it in my spirit, I will now say, from now, I will not begin to bless your business. Because initially, if I try to bless that business, there is a demonic force fighting. I get what I'm saying. So when I now drive it out, I now say, from now, you begin to flourish. You begin to do well. Jobs now begin to flow. Do you understand the point? Now this is why, mom was saying in first service, this is why there are people that have been dealing with ancestral causes in their life for the past 10 years. Every program they say, if our ancestral cause come out, they come out. They pray. Do you know the problem? Sometimes they are not smart to know when the cause has gone. They are waiting for physical sign to know. I get what I'm saying. The cause most times has gone, but they're still bound in their mind. You should know when it has happened. If it has happened, it has happened. You cannot begin to affirm the blessings of God. You see what I'm talking about? Because you can't ask the devil to go and he stays. Once you cast him out, you know he has gone. Now begin to correct whatever damage that his presence did. Do you get the point? Maybe the presence of that devil made someone to have diabetes and all that. When you now ask the devil to go, can I ask diabetes to go? So I show you a few scriptures about that. Mark 9 verse 17. Just to show you that could be manifestation of a cast of devil, that can be drama. When Jesus, you know this story, Master, I've brought my dumb son. Which are the dumb spirits? Continue. They wanted to cast him, but he couldn't cast out. Now, look at verse 20. Everybody, please, I want you to see how Jesus casted out this devil. And they brought him unto Jesus, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. So Jesus has not said anything. The spirit already threw him and flung him on the ground. What is that? That fear thing I'm telling you about. So look at what Jesus did in verse 21. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. That's what I told you, most protracted cases. Are you following what I'm saying? So he's been there since he was a child. Now, next verse. And oft times, it cast him into the fire and into the waters. The devil is a wicked devil. To destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said, straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. How did he rebuke him? Saying unto him, thou. So you don't just say, I rebuke you. Do you get the point? Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. So he even told him, you are not coming back here. Now look at what happened. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. So the people say, Jesus, he has died. But Jesus was not worried. He knew what has happened. When I'm walking with this, is your spirit you are checking? Somebody would have said, I've killed somebody's child. Give me like an answer of this verse. Read it to everybody. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion. And left him. So when he said and left him, did all of them see the spirit leave him? No, but he left. But look at what happened. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said he's dead. So if Jesus was not a trained man in the spirit, he would have said, let me sneak out. It's like I've killed somebody's child. But look at the next verse. Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. So he knew the thing was gone. Not because anything on the outside looked like it. He laid as though he was dead. But just knew the spirit was gone. Do you realize the same thing that spirit used to do to him was still what the spirit did to him when he was living? You know, we said the spirit would lift him up, tear him apart, he would foam from his mouth. That's exactly what happened when Jesus prayed for him.
Yet he just knew that thing has gone. I said it's done. Are you following me? Luke 8:46. Let me show you. Check your spirit, man. Luke 8:46. Popular. I've talked from this before. Jesus said somebody touched me because power left him. So you know that story? The woman with the issue of blood. Jesus did not see the woman touch, but he just knew that something has happened in his spirit, man. So when that, you now begin to address the consequence. Because I showed you a scripture earlier as I begin to wind down. Matthew 12. Jesus said you cannot go into a strong man's house. Give me verse 19. You cannot go into a strong man's house. Is it Matthew? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 29, rather. Matthew 12, 29. You cannot go into a strong man's house and plunder the strong man if you do not first bind the strong man. So, that's what I'm trying to show you. You meet someone that is sick. The person is blind or the person is mad. There is madness caused by drugs. So in that case, you can just ask that madness spirit to go and then we put the guy under therapy. But there is madness caused by demons. You cannot just come at that saying madness be cured in Jesus' name. Person will not be cured because you are in a strong man's house. Are you following me? So you must first bind up that strong man. When you now bind up the strong man, you now say, oh yeah, insanity, I command your mind to return to you. I command your memories to, I get what I'm saying. I command, because you've dealt with the spirit dealing with it. This is basic casting of devils. And Jesus did this a lot. I'll just show you one summary. One place he did this summary. Mark 2:8-16. Mark 2:8-16. You see, that's how Jesus operated. Read it to me, everybody. Come on, read again. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. What did he do? He cast out the spirits with his word. And so you see the progression. Cast out, heal. How did he cast out? With his word. That's why we said speak. He did not cast them out with broom. He didn't break pigeon on their head. It's what girl I'm talking about. He didn't soak them inside red oil. He cast them out with his word. The word is enough. You devil, get out. You demon, get out. When you now do that, you can now address the healing. Give me like another of this verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He cast out the evil spirit with a simple, somebody say simple command. I shall say simple command, come on. And then he healed all the sick. So you devil, go then, you sickness be gone. I've witnessed this many times. In fact, most cases of deaf and dumb cases, most cases is a demonic spirit. Most. So when you see me accusing foul devil, get out. Ear open. Are you following me? Because how can you explain that somebody can sleep and wake up and stop hearing totally? As a case I had like that. Slept, woke up, ear blocked. Totally. They took him to everywhere. Nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But let me close by saying, please, God said I should go back to that and close with it. Be bold. And let me tell you how to be bold. This boldness, and because God said I should talk, I mentioned this at Obolo yesterday, and I shared it at Abakiliki. Just give me some time, let me just explain this to you. This boldness comes by the word of God. Shuleta rekosia canuventia locreta. 30 days of light is coming. And if I just show you this, you will see the wisdom of God behind 30 days of light. And why you will leave that meeting changed. I will make a post about this. If I'm not able to make a post about this, maybe the media team can produce this thing and I better explain so that they can have it, because God put it in my heart to put it on Facebook. There is the wisdom of God. Do you know why Goliath? You know Goliath? Do you know why Goliath came before the whole of Israel and nobody could rise against him? Do you know why? You think it's because he was a giant? No. There was a secret to why they couldn't do anything to Goliath.
He played a game. And as he came, Satan plays on many of you why you cannot stand against him. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, 17. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, is it verse 21? Okay. Okay, let's start from verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp. I'm going to take like 10 more minutes of your time. I'm done with my message, Joe. But let's say that I should address this matter. Because it's the issue of confidence. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet and all that. And he stood in verse 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, where are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then I'll be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and Israel and all Israel heard these words, they were dismayed. Goliath used his words to shut Israel up. Now, you say, how come ordinary this thing he was saying affected them? Look at the secret. The secret was that Goliath didn't speak to them for one day. Are you following me? Goliath spoke to them for 40 days, morning and night. Give me that verse. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's verse 16. The Philistine presented himself. Give me that verse. Verse 16. During the morning and evening, presented himself every day for 40 days. He'll come out in the morning. You weaklings, come out and fight me. You say you are strong, come and face me. He did that in the morning. After that, because Goliath held a 40 days conference for the armies of Israel, preaching morning session and evening session. So day one, he will come and share some deep things with them on why they are failures. Then in the evening, he will have Holy Ghost meeting with them, explaining to them why he will destroy them every day for 40 days. Guess the person that took him out, the only man that was not in that meeting. David wasn't there. He didn't attend the conference. Are you guys what I'm talking about? That's how the devil harasses people. He does the game. Wake up in the morning. Where are those guys? You said you are servants of Saul. I'm here. If you can do anything, do it now. Do it. I'm sure the first day he said that, they said, hey, I leave this man. He came again in the evening. Day one, gone. Day two, 40 days. By the 40th day, he will talk. Even Saul will run in to go and hide. But thank God there was a man that missed the conference. There are conferences you should miss. Not church conference. Conference going on in your head. That thing that keeps telling you, you will not make it. You will not prosper. You will not hear. You think you are strong. There is a conference in your head morning and night. The devil is talking to you. You get on Facebook, he's talking. Telling you, you think you can make it. He said, how is he talking to me? You begin to see different posts you didn't bargain for. Trying to steer fear. And because you are always on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, he preaches to you. Some of you even have morning, afternoon session, and even night session. Even be night session with the devil. Because on Facebook, he's talking. You now have stupid friends that used to discourage you. Imagine there's someone here that wants to make a first class. And devil is talking to you. He thinks it's people like you that can make first class. He's talking. He talks in the morning. He talks in the night. Then you have friends that will come and tell you, oh boy, there is this one result. This past set that just left. Everybody failed that course. The best student was D. Satan is talking every day. You are attending the conference. The seminar is ongoing. But there's a man that missed the meeting. His name was David. Immediately David came and heard him. David never referred to Goliath as a giant. Not once. He kept calling him the answer of the Philistine. He didn't understand why they were afraid of him. Look at it. He didn't understand why they were afraid. They didn't understand why he wasn't afraid. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they've been attending a conference that he didn't attend. They've been hearing something that he didn't hear. What would David do every morning? He would wake up. He said, early will I seek thee. He woke up in the morning and just pray. Spend time with God. Receive strength from God. Keep living his life. And these guys, you are in an ungodly, unholy conference. They should have done something. And that's what I'm trying to talk about. I'm talking about boldness and confidence. Learning how to talk when you are standing before a foul devil. So, eventually, David faced the man. And guess what he did? Mainly saw David. The same thing he was doing with other people. He just started. He wanted to take David on the ride. He did day one for David. Are you following me, friends? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew on to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, day one conference. Satan does this conference for people. Am I a dog that comes to me with staves? And the Philistine calls David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air. So you can imagine what he was telling those Israelites every day. Who will come out here? I will distribute you to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth. If you say you're a man, come out. So just that he didn't know that David was hearing something else. Immediately he finished. Next verse, David started his own. Then said David to the Philistine. So the problem was that he was holding conference for them. They were not holding for him. He was preaching for 40 days. David took him on a 30 minutes charge. Just 30 minutes, right? Read, I'm not joking. Just short charge, little charge like that. I think I put it wrong, but he said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give, now he said he will give David's body to the fowls of the air. David said, I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He didn't stop there. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And then the conference ended. He knew he met his match. No, he met someone above his match. So that's why, do you observe, why was it David that struck first? You know, it's not like he struck David and David dodged. Because he was still trying to recover from the conference. he couldn't imagine how, who is this small boy talking? He was still trying to digest the message and take notes. The stone landed on your back. Ah, come on. Boldness scares the devil. And he knows. That's why he thrives with that fear thing. Every time just throwing thoughts at you. Throwing jams at you. And some of you, he has been on a conference in your life for a very long time. You sleep, he's talking to you. You read a book, he's talking to you. You go to Facebook, he's talking to you. Your friends are talking to you. Do you think you will even make it? Do you think this will even work? Things are talking. And then the market is talking to you. Nigeria is talking to you. You pick a newspaper. Satan is holding sessions for you. Next time he holds the session, reply. Next time you see that thing on Facebook, you've been planning to book your visa, and they said, maybe you're trying to go to UK. UK plans to deny all Nigerians visa in 2026. You know it's the devil talking to you. That's time to say, hallelujah, I'll be in the UK in 2026. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be there. He says, I used to say it in my mind. I used to say, God forbid in my mind. That's what I'm saying. David did not look at Goliath and said, God forbid. He took him by his own conference. You are doing 40 days. I have a short message for you, sir. I will destroy your life. I will devour you. So, look at the next verse. Immediately he finished. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came during the interview. And David hasted. and ran towards. So, oh, let me tell you, Satan fears your boldness. He ran towards him. He wasn't. That's how I cast out devils. So some of you, the devil is manifesting, you're shifting back. In the name of, I go towards. I march towards. Are you following me this one? I march towards. Satan, David ran towards him. He didn't wait for, he didn't draw back. Be bold. Be bold. And if I move away from this kind of devil's thing, next time life challenges speaks to you, run towards it. Don't run from the challenge. Run towards it. As he's still talking, you are coming and you are speaking. And you come against me with this staff and this arrow. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord give into my hands. I will cut off your head. Imagine it. The problem, the guy is saying, I will cut off your head. They not have a sword. That's why he go down. The Bible letter said that David cut off Goliath's head, but he didn't have a sword inside. Look for it. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote Goliath and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. No sword. So how can a man also have a sword say, I will cut off your head? You know, the people have a proverb that if you wake up in the morning and a fowl starts chasing you, he said you should run because you don't know whether he grew it overnight. So that's what the devil takes. Wait. Imagine Goliath. Goliath said, who is talking? Who is talking? Before he knew, bam, on his forehead. Take the devil on. When he comes at your business, take him on. When you meet him in your neighbor's business, take him on. Let the devil be afraid. Let him be that every time you come, he say, he's coming to, if the soldiers begin, have you come to pursue us again? Let him be that next time he wants to come to your neighbor, he say, that boy is there, he won't let us. Everywhere you see him, take him on. We are victorious in Christ. Are you blessed this day? We are victorious in Christ. Be bold. That's my last charge for you today. Be bold. Be bold. Stand before any devil. Be bold. They even said the case, this case you are about to pray for has lasted for 300 years. Be bold. That's what the devil does. Sometimes he uses people you are about to pray for against you. They begin to tell you, this man of God has prayed. That man of God has prayed. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to tell you you cannot do anything. That's not what they're trying to do. That's what the devil is using them to do, to say to you. This one has prayed. That one has prayed. This one has prayed. I'm not afraid. Even if they bring a case to you and they tell you, Papa has prayed on this matter, be bold to put your hand. Right? I ministered to someone that told me, I think one of those ladies I ministered to that had this hemorrhaging thing. Yes. At Zoe. That is hemorrhaging thing. Before she came, she went down, when Pastor Chris and Benny Hinn came to Nigeria. You know that means they did together. She was there. They laid hands on her for the same case. He didn't go. I don't know why he didn't go. But when she told me, I wasn't intimidated by that. I didn't say, hey, this one Benny Hinn have prayed. Is he now my own spirit prayer? I don't think like that. Be bold. I'm not saying that prayer did not work. I'm only saying this is your receiving day. Are you following me, friends? Be bold. Because when she told me that, I said, I went to, I say, you went? She said, yes. Say, I'm not fine. I say, well, you're going to be fine today. I'm not saying I'm bigger than those men of God. I'm not just saying that the power of God works through me. Now, I don't know why you are not healed there, but I know why you're going to be healed here. Be bold. So they say, Papa, he has even prayed for me, and it didn't work. You pray again. To start with, you know that the person is not correct. It worked. Just that for whatever reason, because there is no way Pastor Chris and Ben Hinn can put hand on you and pray at the same time, and you still have hemorrhage. It's not possible. But for some reason, it was happening to her. So I didn't want to start explaining all of that to her at that point. Are you pulling what I'm talking about? I just said, fine, I'm going to pray for you. And that was the way, that's what we did at Christian Center, the first one, 2018, the first one. Steered up. Remember? That's the first one. She was healed. Who can stand against the Lord? Stand to your feet. Come on. Sing it like nobody is saying. Come on.
No one will
And who can stand against the Lord? Sing.
Who can stand against the Lord?
No one can.
No one can.
No one will.
No one will.
Sing. Oh, oh,
oh, oh.
Yes.
Victory.
My God.
Victory belongs to
Him. Sing it again. Sing, oh, oh,
oh.
Andele kobarate sobalataya.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
Yeah, victory.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. So I put my trust in. Not that bad. Do it now.
So I put my trust in you.
So I put my trust in you.
So I put my trust in you.
Say victory belongs.
Victory belongs to you.
Victory belongs.
Victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
Yes, yes, yes.
To you.
All the victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
We did three more times. And even as we are robbed to the power of God. All the victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
To you. All the victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
God, look at that. Hey, all the victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
All the victory belongs.
All
the victory belongs. You have 3 minutes. Face whatever thing that is standing in front of you now. You have 3 minutes. Face whatever thing. I know this is a training on how to cast out devils from people, but now you can deal with issues around your life. Oh, all the victory belongs. Don't stop. Face whatever thing. My God. Woo. All the victory belongs. All the victory belongs. Ah. To Him. Mandele go barada, all the victory belongs. Don't stop. Face whatever that is standing in front of you now. Everything standing in front of you now. Face it headlong. Face it headlong. Face it. Face it. Mandele kronetiada. Face it headlong. Whatever that is standing in front of your home now. Ah. Keep praying. Do that song. I pray into the atmosphere. I pray into the atmosphere.
Spirit of God, you
don't stop praying.
Almighty.
Hey, yes, yes, yes.
I pray over my heart and I am healed by your stripes, your blood declares that I am free.
Sing again. I pray into the atmosphere. Sing.
I pray into the atmosphere. Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority.
Come on.
I pray. That I am free in the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
The power of God is strong here now.
Calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim every weapon formed against me must fail in the mighty name of Jesus.
Do the combat. I pray for my balance. Come and sing.
I draw a permanent boundary line. No right to come near my family.
Woo!
No skin could ever run to cause plans. No matter the circumstance, the cross has sealed my destiny.
Hit again. I draw a permanent boundary line.
I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no right.
Angels are walking in this place. I see something coming for some men in this place. I see men walking out of some shackles that's held them down. I don't know where that is coming. I see some brothers, some men walking out of things that have held them down. Satanic pullbacks. Satanic pullbacks. Many of you can see that this in your life is no more normal. Take authority now. And I see you walking out of that stuff.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim every weapon formed against me must break in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Don't take your destiny for granted. I just said that by the Holy Ghost. Then you find those things holding you down. You stand and you pray. Freedom has come. Freedom has come. For many of us, for many families here, any family here that is going around difficult situations, God has gone to war. He has brought the victory. And your answers have come now. Any area of your life that you've observed that there is a satanic interference, and you just prayed about it. I stand on my apostolic calling and I declare the answer has come.
Amen.
That devil has taken his hands off your home.
Amen.
We check him out of your home.
Amen.
We check him out of your marriage.
Amen.
We check him out of your children. We check him out of your business. We check him out of your studies. We check him out of your health. In the name of Jesus. The victory has come.
Anyone in this place that is being tormented by the spirit of fear, that devil is jumping out of you now.
You fat devil of fear. Because fear can be a torment, but it's leaving your body now. It's leaving your mind now. Mind struggling with depression. Mind struggling with this mental cloudiness. I saw it in the spirit. And God is removing that from your mind. That devil is lifted off your mind now. In the name of Jesus.
And I see some people here. The Lord said you've been very weak. And you don't even know where the weakness is coming from. Just wake up weak, tired. No motivation to do anything. No motivation to attempt anything. Please forgive my time if you're like that. Please come. Don't have to put my hands on you. Wake up tired, no motivation, no strength. You're just weak, just tired. Just come on, put my hands on you. Some of you lost every drive. If I put my hand on you, something, let me tell you, something is going to jump into you. And you are going to pick up that energy. You wake up so lost without strength that there's no motivation to even engage. To even try things, to even try new things, to even take the step you're meant to take. It's like you are held within a box. And that box is somewhere in your mind. And you're just like, cannot make the next move. As you're out here, I'm going to put my hands on you. And that foul devil that saps people's strength, we take his hand off your body. And if you're following online, please get to the stage too. Get to the stage because at the time I'm going to stretch my hand and that thing that saps people's strength. Yes. But I see some of you, there are bigger things for you, but you don't even have strength to try anything. You never have strength to try anything. And some of you, it came from past failures. It came from past things that did not work. So when they're even saying try new things, it's not there. Just spend 1 minute here and pray. Before I pray for you. Because you've come to God, not me. Just pray. Spend like 1 minute. It came from past failures. Some of you, it didn't even come from anything. You just find out that you've lost drive. You've lost energy. You've lost motivation. You've lost every, just there. Waiting for the next morning. For the next morning. Some of you, that thing is even in ministry. You find out they're just tagging along in ministry. There is no drive. There's nothing.
Yes, 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 yes. I need the pastors to come. All the pastors come. We're going to do this very quickly so I can leave. Mom, come too. Yes. Just check whatever thing affecting these minds out quickly. Once they pray for you, receive it by faith. Everywhere. Once you are prayed for, receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Ushers, please get active. The power of God is going to break out here. Whatever that has held people's mind down is hereby removed. Is hereby, we check those foul influences off these ones, out of these bodies, out of these minds. Yes, out of these minds, out of these minds, out of these minds. Melekuna Shianda, out of these minds, the torment is gone. Yet, if they pray for you, leave here rejoicing. That's what you do, leave here laughing and rejoicing. Because that sin in your mind is out of your mind. It has jumped out of your mind. Leave here rejoicing. Leave here rejoicing. Leave here rejoicing. Yes, 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 yes. 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 Leave here rejoicing. Come. Yes. Let me prove it. Come. Take your hands off. Strength.
No strength. Could ever undo
strength. strength. Energy is jumping back into you. Yes, yes. Strength. Get off our mind. Get off our mind. Get off his mind. Get off his mind. Strength in the name of Jesus. Strength in the name of Jesus. Out of this mind. Of this mind. Out of this mind. Strength. New vehicle. New passion. New strength. New vehicle. New passion. New strength. Take care of this mind. Of this mind. Take care. New vehicle. New strength. Yes, 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 yes.
And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim every weapon formed against me must break in the mighty name of Jesus.
Everyone I minister to now, you are operating with new strength. New vigor. Some of you will see what's happened this week. This is not just a careless impartation. You will see the kind of energy. Some of you, I see some of you even talking about this on your status. Because by tomorrow, by next tomorrow, you will see strength jump. You will find yourself attempting new things. That coldness, that numbness is gone out of your system now. And on that, I'm going to tell you, the month of September will birth abundance for everyone here. It will bring abundance for everyone here. It will bring abundance for everyone here. Some of you are reading what I saw you do in the spirit. You can rejoice and dance to that. It's bringing abundance to everyone here. It's bringing abundance with joy. We are drawing water from the well to this foundation. Salvation. Abundance. Hallelujah. Whatever that is small in your hands now would have multiplied by the end of September. From the days of scanty to the days of losing count. From the days of scanty to the days of losing count. Souls will multiply. Money will multiply. Visions will multiply. Results will multiply. Because abundance is here. And not only will you dance here, you will have room to dance throughout the month of September. And I heard the Lord say to me, now the flow is flowing. From 12 a.m. this morning, you've entered into abundance. From 12 a.m. tomorrow morning, you've entered into abundance. And it's about to get better and bigger. Increase is here. It's already done. And we can rejoice to that. Listen.
There are two people here. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to say this and then whatever you want to do with it, you do with it. There are two people here that you're actually struggling. But I'm going to tell you why you're struggling. There's a property I see you with. And that property was something you went to take from somewhere. From a witch doctor. From an SNY. From a herbalist. That's what I'm just saying, Spirit. And you went to take that for protection. Some of you took it for anything. If you are like that, and there's one of them I'm talking to, you are even tired of using some of those things and all those things, but you are afraid that something will happen to you. If you are like that, you can see me or see any of the pastors, but you should make sure you see us. Let's break that rubbish. If not, you just keep going round and round in circles. Round and round in circles. But victory belongs to Jesus. And you will win. In Jesus' name. Were you blessed today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So August ended well for us. September is starting better. There is someone here that is going to receive, no, not someone, four people here that are going to receive a financial miracle before 10 a.m. today.
don't just rejoice. When it happens, make sure you tell me. You know, I don't speak for, I don't just wish people well. Before the fame today, a big financial miracle is going to enter. So I just saw that in the spirit. Hallelujah. August is ending well. I'm big and better. Hallelujah. Have your seat.